disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, to be honest with you, I love it when this happens. I love it when this happens. We were having a little bit of a discussion as we were going here at the beginning of the show. For those of you who don't know, if you log in early, if you go to CoachDaveLive.com and join the huddle early, we have depends on what time I get in there. Some folks are in here maybe a quarter of, and we have a discussion that goes on. And a lot of times through the course of that discussion, boy, the Holy Spirit really begins to speak to me. It just happened again, just as we were doing it right here. I got a good program planned here and everything. But Spencer, while I'm thinking of them, and if you could throw me up on there, throw something. If you could for me, Spencer, go to John. John chapter 17. Maybe get that thing ready for me as we go up there. Hey, I'm going to be in Medina, Ohio today. And I got Spencer double tasking. Ohio Freedom Fighters and Me, Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, 7 p.m. lecture in Medina, Ohio. That's for any of you that might be, Medina is south of Cleveland. I mean, you can find it. If you're listening and you know where Medina is, you know whether or not you can get there. Some of you will be over by Akron, Canton, so, you know, you could come. So Michelle and I are going to be up there tonight, Ohio Freedom Fighters. And Dave Dobenmeyer, 7291 Stone Road, Medina, Ohio, 44256. It's free. Love to see some of you up there. I'd like to inspire some of you, get you in the game, and excited to be able to do that. I want to make Allie, stay with me here, Lord. Folks, we're getting ready to – we're going to have some changes here at Coach Dave Live. We're getting ready to go to a we're going to go to a new browser. Now, we're all on Google Hangout, and we've become really, really comfortable with Google Hangout. But I have several guests who will not come on the show because we use Google. And they say, listen, it's they capture all your data, everything. They capture everybody in queue. Nobody's safe if you use Google. And then I also know this, that at any point, Google could shut us down. So, if you could throw up there real quick, we're getting ready to move to something called a browser called Brave.com. Brave, and it's a browser that has been put together by Jared has a video. We'll talk about it later on. A Christian browser. How about that? The best privacy browser on the internet, and it also has the ability to do what we do here. These hangouts. It's not censored. It's not, all the data is not captured. And I don't really know what point, how to really introduce this, because one day we're going to say, okay, boys, starting Monday, we're going to be on Brave, and a lot of you won't be there. Now, Larry just said before we went into the show that Brave.com, he downloaded it. I've downloaded it, by the way. And I'm going to start doing some practice on how to do it. But some of you might want to just go download Brave.com. Brave.com. Now, I think, Larry, help me out here, Larry. Wasn't there a $7 a month subscription fee or something like to it? It goes to Brave.
It has a free aspect, but you can only do individual conversations. If you want to have room, if you want to host a room conversation, then you have to go to the premium.
Okay. So, that may be a problem for somebody. So, oh, golly, $7 a month. That'd be like, ooh, man. $20 is 20 cents a day to watch Coach Dave. I don't know if I can do that. So I want all of you to, if you will, start looking at Brave.com. Brave.com. Now you can just go there just as a browser. If you just, instead of wanting to use Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever, you can go download Brave.com and it can become your browser if you want to do that. and it'll block certain things for you and do all that stuff. But we're going to try to figure out how we're going to use this brave.com video format. Now, I got to tell you, I know about a little of it as everybody else. Spencer knows something about it. Jared, they've done some investigation, and this is the best one that is out there available for us. Spencer, is there anything that you can say that explains a lot better than I just did what the heck Brave is and how this thing's going to work?
No, that's basically it, Coach. Talk.brave.com is the video call portion of Brave. And, you've basically said everything that we know. We're doing some testing, and Friday we'll try it out for the first time and see how it goes.
Unlimited private video calls with your friends and colleagues. Because right now that all these, right now they're watching us on these, right? We know that for sure. So, again, I want to support Christian outreach and get away from Google and all that kind of mess. I got to talk to Jared. Jared says he wants to start it on Friday. That's 2 days. I don't know if we're ready for that yet, but you guys can go download brave.com. Start using that, at least Azure browser. Yep. Go ahead. Somebody's going to say something.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. I wanted to pitch out to Spencer. Can y'all do a quick security test on that? I don't know if y'all got a way to do it, but if you did a security test on it, think about it. If they know we're moving there and it's vulnerable, they could just take it down. If we could check that first, Spencer, you might have an idea of some of the vulnerabilities. I don't know if y'all got that capability, but I could do some of that work.
Shoot me an email, Mark.
Will do.
Thanks, Mark. Rochelle, come on in real quickly.
Hey, good morning, team. Coach, would the setup be the same? We go to the Coach Dave Live in the morning?
Yeah, well, I just work here, Rochelle, but as far as I know, yeah, it's going to be pretty much the same thing. Going to be just as easy, right? We looked at a couple others. We looked at, what's the name of that one? Doesn't matter. And they were just clinky and just had issues with them. And Jared and the crew, they just said, first of all, it's Christian. And secondly, it has the least amount of blips in it. And so we'll try to figure it out. I'll let you know tomorrow if we're going to do it on Friday or not. Come on back in, Mark.
That's all I had. I'll take it offline with Spencer. Well, Jared.
Good to hear from you, Mark. I hadn't heard from you in a couple of days. Wondering if you're still alive and kicking out there, you know. Crazy.
Yeah, lots of hacking going on in the world right now.
Boy, so buddy, really it's a crazy time and it's a crazy world. That's for sure. Lord had me up early this morning, and I got some really, really good stuff I want to be able to share with all of you. Before I do that, the Holy Spirit just gave me chapter 17 of John. I want to pull it up there. Silver, are you in here today that you can be our official? Wow, really?
Yes, sir.
Official. Okay. Cool. I just got it. Whoa, I'm just looking at something here. Wow. I need more time to read that. Wow. Hey, I just got a notice. I don't know what it means, okay? 10 days of darkness. I just got a notice. 10 days of darkness coming. Now, we know what that's all about, right? I'm not going to say any more than that because I don't know anymore. 10 days of darkness. Take a deep breath.
Boom.
That's about to begin. I don't know what it means, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit does this to me. Hey, friends, listen. Thank you, Lord. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not really a Christian. Now, that sounds really, really crazy, doesn't it? But I can tell you this. When I walked the aisle in 1963 at a Billy Graham crusade in Columbus, Ohio, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I walked that aisle and I said that prayer and I was saved that moment, I believe that I was, and I fell back into sin, lived my life crazy till I found Christ again, stumbled on him again when I was 38 years old. So that's 28 years wandering in the wilderness. I'd never even heard about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'd heard about him, right? I was in church. I was in the Catholic Church, and I fell away from the Catholic Church when I went to college in 1971. Every once in a while, I'd feel guilty, so I'd go to Mass every once in a while. Not too often, but every once in a while. And then Michelle and I, you know, I graduated from college in 1975, and Michelle and I got married in 1978. Is that right? I think. And Michelle and I got married in the Catholic Church in 1978 because she was a Catholic. I was a Catholic. So that's what you do, right? You know, get married in the Catholic Church. I was no more a Christian than a poached egg, except I had that spark of Christ inside of me, the thing called the Holy Spirit. And in all my days of, from when I walked at Jet Stadium in Columbus, Ohio, and genuinely received Jesus Christ as my Savior, 1963, I'd have been 11 years old, until I was 38 years old, and I happened to bump into the Holy Spirit again. I don't know in my whole life if I ever had anybody talk to me about the Holy Spirit. Can anybody say amen other than me? I went to religion and they said the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They just kind of came out there, but nobody really ever told me that the Holy Spirit wasn't just flying around, that he's in me. That he made his home, that my body was now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what it says, friends? Didn't Jesus say our body was the temple of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy, what lives in a temple? What lives in a temple? So when you drive around, drive downtown Columbus or drive certain areas in Columbus, I come across the Aladdin Shrine Temple. What lives in the Aladdin Shrine Temple, I wonder? Hey, Spencer, real quickly, while the Holy Spirit's got a hold of me here, go to our good friend, Mr. Webster, and see what he says a temple is. What's a temple? A public edifice erected in honor of some deity. Oh, yeah? Among pagans, it's a building erected to some pretended deity and in which the people assemble to worship. Originally, temples were open places, as a Stonehenge in England. This is amazing, isn't it? In Rome, some of the temples were open and called sacella. Others were roofed, called odes. Most celebrated of the ancient pagan temples was that of Belus in Babylon, Vulcan in Memphis, Jupiter at Thebes, that of Diana at Ephesus, Apollo in Miletus, that of Jupiter Olympius in Athens, Apollo Adel, temple, the place where a deity lives. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to shock you here. I'm just going to throw this in out here because I'm working on this one. That whole Daniel thing and the building of the new temple. Hey, folks, listen, I don't know if this is theologically sound or not. I'm thinking out loud, okay? The mixing of iron and clay. Man is made out of dirt. We're made out of dirt. And could it be that we're spending all of our time focusing on this third temple being built in Jerusalem when in fact we are the temple?
Boom.
We're the temple of the Holy Spirit now.
Amen.
And the mixing of what we see going on now, the mixing of clay with this graphite and this stuff. Oh my goodness. Hey, Trump, this is deep. Brother, this one is deep.
Hey, it's truth, Coach. It's truth. Keep it up.
Amen. Amen. So to understand this, again, for my whole religious training upbringing, I never knew that my temple, my body was the temple, that the Holy Spirit dwelt inside of me. I never knew that. I never knew it. I never knew that the Holy Spirit was accessible to me. I never knew that. That when I got born again, remember Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, he that was with you shall be in you. Wow. Somewhere in the scriptures, I read ones where somewhere along the line, somebody said the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you. Kingdom of God, Holy Spirit, temple, body, baptism. Wow, I never knew it. Never, ever, ever knew it. And I believe that there are people even right now watching this show. I don't know how many would be. I don't trust these numbers. 118 people in the queue. There's more watching than that, I can promise you. Not that it matters. We don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. You know, who have been Christians their whole life and never understood that the Holy Spirit was in them. And when I become born again, I receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of me. But it's powerless if I don't know how to access it. If I don't even know that it's there. Now that sounds crazy because the Holy Spirit's never powerless. You get what I'm saying? If I don't know how to engage the blades, use it, what good is it? And can I tell you this? I've been taught my whole life. I had to go to church because that's where God lived. Anybody say amen? When anybody say amen, they call it the Lord's house.
Amen.
Got to go to the Lord's house. Now, that would be good, except that's not what it teaches us, does it? We're the home. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit, he said. Receive you. He said to John, no, he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you were born as spirit, a water and born in spirit, you can't even see it, Nicodemus. That Holy Spirit's got to get in you. So we're in a battle today. Part of the battle that we're in today, friends, is we have Christians who don't have the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Coach, that's a mic drop.
Amen.
We have Christians in name only. Jesus said, or Paul said, a form of godliness. Folks, this is a download from the Holy Spirit. I can't even tell you. A form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such men turn away. And our pulpits are full of men who do not operate and are driven and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Amen.
They can't recognize good and evil. They can't for the life of them. We have men standing in the pulpit who are telling people to poison the temple of God by taking an injection. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen, amen. Amen.
I would never go in and pollute the church. In fact, when I used to walk into the Catholic church as a kid, I was scared. I'm telling you the truth. I was scared. Because when I went in there, everything was quiet. Everybody was on their knees. And I didn't know who it was, but there was somebody getting ready to whack me. I knew that, right? I knew I didn't defile that temple. Somebody with me, you don't wear a hat in church, boy. Really? Really? Who came up with that one? Well, it's somewhere in that Bible. Well, we're not in the old temple anymore. We're a new temple. Temple of the Holy Spirit dwells. Oh my goodness. I hope you're getting this. Joe, I want to read the whole chapter. I don't know why the Holy Spirit told me to read this. I didn't even have it on my list of go-to things.
Okay, Coach.
Chapter 17 in the King James Bible. And it may say something different, but I think there's some, I haven't read it, folks. I believe there's some powerful nuggets in there that we're supposed to hear this morning. So, Joe, just start going. And,
okay.
Hey, folks, I don't know if you do this. I underline in my Bible. I underline. Do you know why I underline my Bible? Because just like this morning, if I was having a conversation with somebody and I said, you know, the Bible says, what does it say? Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into captivity. And somebody says, where is that? Well, a lot of times I can just thumb through my Bible and I've got it outlined someplace. It helps me. Otherwise, I think, I got to ask Dale Social where it is. Hang on a second. I'm going to let Joe come in and Larry, and then we're going to read real quickly. Go ahead, Joe. Because I know, here's what I know happens. Sometimes we get rolling in the show and your point was 10 minutes ago, and now it's not really valid. So go ahead, Joe, if you want to have something to say. Nope, you're muted still.
Yeah, me, yeah.
Yep.
I thought you talked to Silver.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, definitely. I learned last week that Paul's reference to our body as a temple was not optimally translated, and it's actually the Holy of Holies or the most holy place in the temple.
Wow.
So our body is the real place where God would come once a year, but the Holy Spirit dwells in us all the time. And so that makes perfect sense. And I'm amazed that it hasn't been taught correctly.
It hasn't been. Listen, I'm not a know-it-all. But like I told you guys, I can read and I can think. And to think that people would inject a vaccine into the temple, the Holy Spirit's in me, and I'm going to inject aborted baby parts in there?
It's blasphemous.
Come on, man. That'd be like walking into the church and taking a dump. You wouldn't do that, would you? Nobody would do that. Nobody in the church would. They'd all throw stuff at you if you did that, wouldn't they? We got guys standing in the pulpit telling you, hey, put some poison in you. Hey, will you do me a favor? Mess up that temple, will you? Holy Spirit lives in there. Mess that thing up for me, will you? By the way, when you're sitting around watching pornography, the Holy Spirit's in there too. Don't forget that. Go ahead, Joe, because let's go where this thing takes us today.
Okay, Coach. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee.
He wants to glorify his Son so that he may glorify him. So he wants to glorify us so that we might glorify him. The Bible says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you cannot put a bushel basket over it. He put the Holy Spirit in you that you're going to give light into all the world. What are they telling us now? Your light's too bright. Turn down your light. Coach, turn down that light. It's too bright. It turns people off. Keep going, Joe.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Yeah.
What was that work? We know what it was, right? For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, if you destroy the works of the devil. Go ahead.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Wow, that's deep.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Gavest to them where, Larry? I'm sorry, silver, where?
Out of the world.
Out of the world. The men which you gave me out of the world.
Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me.
So, Joe, so far, these guys just didn't walk an aisle and say a prayer, did they? They just didn't go to a Billy Graham crusade and repent of their sins and receive Christ as your Savior. He said something deeper happened in these boys. Isn't that what he said? By the way, the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. Why? Go ahead.
I pray for them.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
I pray not for the world.
What?
But for them which thou hast given me.
Say that again. Read that one again.
I pray for them.
We ought to capitalize them. I pray for them. He's telling you who he's praying for, right? He's praying to those that you gave me, Lord. And they've been faithful, and I've been faithful, and I pray for them. He doesn't pray for the world. Does it say that or not? Is it just the King James Bible here? Is this one messed up? Huh? Keep going, Larry. Start on verse 9 and go, keep going, Joe, and I'll shut up.
Okay. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
Wait a minute. In them or through them? They're not the same words, are they? He's already glorified in us, but he wants to work through us. Go ahead.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me, while I have kept. Gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost.
Wow.
But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them.
What?
Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Hey, Joe, who's he referring to here? What does he mean, they are not of the world? Who's he referring to?
In this case, his apostles.
His apostles. But it's a reference to all of us who have come under who are now the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are now otherworldly, friends. We're otherworldly. And the struggle that we have is we cling to this world. We are otherworldly clinging to this world. And I think we're otherworldly clinging to this world because we don't understand the temple home relationship between the Holy Spirit and our bodies. Hey, Joe, I've given them the world. I've given them thy word, and the world hates them. Folks, why are we so enamored with trying to get the world to love us? When he told us the world hates them. Why? Because I've given them their word. The world have hated them because they're not of this world. Keep going, man.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
Don't get them out of here. Protect them, Lord.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
How many times has he said that? Three or four? Please. How many times does he have to repeat it before we get it? All right?
Sanctify them.
Hang on, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Why are we not of the world? Folks, why are we not of the world? Because the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of us. We exchanged our spirit of birth to the new man. The new man. And the new man's otherworldly. Otherworldly, walking around in a meat suit, as Stephanie would say. Go ahead, Joe.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world.
Okay, now how did they send him into the world? God said, as you sent me into the world, I'm going to send them into the world. What does that mean, Joe? How did they send Jesus into the world? Well, he sent Jesus in the world to die to himself, didn't he? Didn't he come and die to himself? He said, I'm going to send them the same way you sent me. I'm going to send them into the world. I'm going to send them into the world. They're not of the world, but I'm going to send them into it. Now, hey, folks, let's be smart here. Of course, we're already in the world. I didn't change locations when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't change locations. I'm still here. I just changed his natures. I'm just a different guy because now I understand that he who was with me is now in me. Oh, my God, if we could ever get this. Go on, Joe.
And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Mm.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Well, does the world believe that God sent Jesus? I don't think they do.
And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one.
I in them, and you and me. I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Wow. Go ahead, Joe.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Joe, I like verbs. Verbs matter. O righteous Father, maybe this is not a verb. The world hath not known me, but I've known thee. And those that...
I haven't read that yet.
I'm sorry. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be... Folks, wait a minute. Isn't that a present? Isn't that a present?
It is present tense.
Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given, past tense, me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So he says, you've given unto me that they can be present with me, that they may behold my glory all the time, presently, that you gave me before the foundation of the world. Go ahead, 25. Am I making sense? I don't know if I am.
O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee.
Is that ever true? Is that ever, has there ever been a truer statement than that?
Especially then. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
There it is again. It's because, see, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't understand that Jesus Christ came down in a meat suit. And he came down in a meat suit, and he was carrying the Holy Spirit with him when he came. In fact, at the baptism, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, right? Came upon him. And the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is like water. Water is H2O, it's water, it's ice, and it's steam. But they're all H2O. They're all water, H2O.
It's just different states.
Different states or different conditions. So the present physical Jesus Christ is not with us anymore. Because why? He was a spirit. Those who worship me shall worship me in spirit. The Father, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross because of a natural meat suit sin condition. The wages of sin is death. So a physical man had to die to pay the price of sin. Jesus Christ died. And he said, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send me like steam. I'm going to send steam to you. And that steam will be your very breath. God, this is so deep, isn't it? And so many of us are serving and worshiping a God or a Jesus without the acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit. All power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. He said, go therefore, right? Teach all nations. How do you do that? I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, he couldn't have been with them. How can Jesus be with me and with Reggie and with Betty and with Mark? How can that be? Well, he's steam. It's like the wind. We get a concept of that. All right, chew on that. I don't know what means. Chew on it. Golly, 34 minutes. Go ahead, Larry. Come on in. Larry, then Janine.
Yeah, absolutely chew on it. You know, this is a Lord's prayer to me. This is a prayer he prayed to the Father. And the most important aspect of this prayer, there's a lot of it that's important, but the most important thing that pops out to me is something he says five times in this prayer. I can't find any other thing else, any other single subject that his words cover five times in the whole New Testament. Five times he says that they may be one as we are one. Unity in his body is his cry to the Father.
Wow. That's the power, isn't it? That's the power source. Janine.
Three things. In the very beginning, you were talking about iron, and I mean the clay. Yeah. Well, if you look at the Babylonian image or the man, back at the feet, there's clay, which is us, but it's mixed with iron, which is connected to the Roman part or Catholicism. So I believe that's what's happening here. And so when you look at this, what we just read, the word joy means understanding. That's what he wants us to have, is his understanding. And then it says, Father, in thy name. That name means the character, the mind in you, the spirit and truth in you. It is very deep.
Mind of Christ. Need, he said exactly. To have the mind of Christ. How's that even possible?
Exactly.
He said, didn't say think like Christ. He says, have the mind of Christ.
Exactly.
Must be possible, Huntington. Must be possible.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you, dear. Tony, come on in.
Yeah, and tying right into that, Christ showed us the way, and symbolically showing us as he died on the cross that we need to put our own flesh to death and put it behind us so the Holy Spirit could be out in front to lead, guide, and direct our paths every day.
Amen, Tony. There's nothing that quenches the Holy Spirit more than fear. Nothing ever quenches it more than fear. Reggie, come on in.
Yeah, growing up Roman Catholic as well, they never taught us to understand the Holy Spirit. They just spoke of him in the third person.
Yeah.
It wasn't until many things happened that I started to really try to understand that. And I was going back to the fathers of the church, and the Orthodox teach, you know, theosis, which is actually translates into making divine. So then you had, when I spoke to Roman Catholics about it, were saying that's, you can't do that. But what it actually means is to become more like God, not God himself. Then I understood what the Holy Spirit was. Then I understood the power that we have in Christ.
Amen. Boy. Conquered death, hell, and the grave.
So you know who taught me? Huh? The charismatics.
Charismaniacs, right. Come on in, Joe. Then Randy.
Yes. Those last three verses need to be put on the religious exemption form at the bottom.
The last three, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may, that's what, all that, Joe? I think we ought to put on that he didn't pray for the world. That alone shocks most Christians, doesn't it? I pray not for the world. If we're doing everything we can to hang on to it, he's, I ain't praying for that old thing. It's going to pass away, right? It's just a holding tank right now. Don't pray for that old thing. That thing's going to break down and burn. And boy, God help us. Randy, come on in.
Coach, Jesus said in John 14:17, he said, talking about the Holy Spirit. And Coach, I want to tie this in with us as the temple. Okay, he said he will dwell with you. He will be in you. And then he goes on further and he says he will be on you. Okay, which is basically what the Pentecost. Okay, Coach, look, as a temple, we see the Holy Spirit in our life, in our home. Hopefully he's around us and we allow him to that point. But then it comes to the next level. Are you willing to let him be in you, teach you, instruct you, guide you, be that comforter? And then, Coach, it even goes further. He will be on you. That's the manifestation of the Spirit. That's what the power side, Coach. So we can quench him. We can, Paul says we can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. And when we do that, Coach, we are the temple. So to the point that we allow things to defile our temple is to point to which the Holy Spirit can manifest through us. So, you know, we can go really deep here, Coach. This is we need to hear this.
Well, Randy, I know this with everybody, everybody's watching right now. You just saw the Holy Spirit operate, and some of you don't even recognize it. Because that 20-minute thing that we went on was the Holy Spirit in operation through me. Now, look, I'm not glorifying me. It's available to you as well. Now, it's different giftings, all right? We understand that. We have different giftings. But that same Holy Spirit wants to work through you and speak through you. He wants to do that. But we have to do what? We have to get the mind of Christ. We have to take captive every thought, because there's a mind game going on. See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, I'm a dead man. Now, I fight every day to keep that old guy dead, But I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me. I'm already dead. You guys, do you understand that? If you're walking in, with and in and through Christ, you're already dead. Supposed to be. Yet we cling to so much of the world. Bernie, come on in, and Craig.
Coach, yeah, that's you know, when you pray, what's really stood out to me, I pray that they'll be one, okay? Or will that they be one, all right? You want to pray for God's will to be done? That's his will. And what if that is a guide? What if we pray that not only for ourselves, but for our kids? Not that they receive Christ, that they will know him and be in his glory. That's really powerful.
Hey, Bernie, I'm looking right up on the screen right now. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Wow, huh?
Amen.
Do we see that everywhere we look? And I also want you to see this. Even the Spirit of truth, in proper grammatical English, it would say, which the world cannot receive. But the Spirit of truth is a he. You see that? Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive. Come on in, Craig. No zeros. Craig, come on, Craig. Reggie, there we got him. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right.
This leads to the cross, which is the junction of three of God's natures. Okay. One is his righteousness. That means he's true to his word. Righteousness, when you think about it, is really defined by whatever God defines as being true. You know, he creates reality, so he gets to define reality. The next part of God's nature is his justice. In other words, he has to balance his creation. Sin has to be accounted for. It cannot just be a fist bump. Okay, you can't fist bump.
They ain't getting away with it, Craig, they ain't getting away with it, brother.
No. And so God has to keep justice in his, in all of his creation, and mankind is one of them. And then the last one, one of many, is his mercy. In other words, he showed his love for mankind by becoming man to redeem man. And in Hebrews, it says God never became an angel to come and take away the sin of the fallen angels. He never manifested himself in another part of his creation. He only manifested himself in human flesh. So that should give us, that should make us just stand in awe that God would be willing to do that for mankind. And that in itself should make us serve him with all our love and worthiness.
Amen. We can't do that though, Craig, if we don't understand the operation of the Holy Spirit and the power that's been given to us. Reggie, then Dale.
I had another note here, Coach, because you know I like to do the flip side. Yep. They understood this, the fallen. And so that's how they started with the seed and the divinity. They stole the divinity trying to create it through.
They knew all the tools, didn't they, Reggie? They knew all the tools.
They knew what was coming. They knew.
They knew all the tools, right? Oh, my God. It's like they were the ultimate spies. They knew exactly. They were the ultimate MK Ultra, right? The ultimate operation paperclip. Oh, my God, help us. Come on in, Dale.
And, brother, man, just what another note-taking morning. But
ooh,
you know,
for me, too. Buddy, for me, too. I'm telling you.
Randy was talking about, brother, not only with you, not only in you, but, like you said, coming upon you. And these things come by faith and trusting in Christ. And we have the church people, right, who are afraid to have him come in them, but they run to the shot to get that jacked into them, brother.
Into his temple.
This is a dog
pooping in the temple, Dale.
Exactly. This is a real situation here. This is truly a separation. We now see that spirit of fear operating because they run to the injection, but they don't run to have the Holy Spirit put inside of them.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to get to the imprecatory psalm. Stay with me. Go ahead, Ken. I didn't get to anything I wanted to get to today. Ken, come on in. Got to unmute yourself, bud. Yes? No? No on Ken? Okay, look how much time I got. Ah, it took up so much time. I may go over a little bit today, okay? We might go over a little bit today. I want to show you something here. It's very important. Spencer, if you could, pull up, which one is it, Lord? Help me. Pull up Vax Effects. It's the second one down. I got this, folks, I got this video through Facebook Messenger, and I don't have a copy of something off of Facebook Messenger. This is 4 minutes and 53 seconds, and the Holy Spirit impressed it upon me where to watch this thing. You can start. Yeah, you can forward that a little bit, Spencer. You can forward it a little bit. Yeah, start right there. Start right there.
Learned is all information from physicians, medical physicians, natural physicians, and also immunization of virology doctors, things like that, and then also nurses. So what I'm about to share with you is the first vaccine, the second vaccine, and then the boosters and what it does to your body. The first vaccine, as it goes into your body, it has a small amount of saline and then a bunch of ingredients that are very catastrophic to your cellular system. What that does to your immune system, which is your bone marrow, your thymus gland, your spleen, and all other systems associated with your immune system, it decreases the ability to produce white blood cells by 50% from your first vaccine. Then 8 weeks later, which is white blood cell reproductive system, so your ability to make another generation of white blood cells is 8 weeks. That's why they set it up 8 weeks later to hit it again. So you hit the white blood cell ability while it's down. So now what you do is now they decrease the saline in the second one and they increase the harmful ingredients. So now you have a shift in the ingredients. So they decrease the saline and increase. So now there's a shift. And then what they do is that second dose attacks your ability to make white blood cells by an additional 25%. So now you only have a white blood cell ability, like the ability to make white blood cells functioning at 25%. So you just wiped out 75% of your military and the ability to make that military. Then what they do is they set in the booster. The booster has 81 strands of foreign bacteria that your cells have never come across. So you don't have the antibodies to fight it, but you only have 25% of your white blood cell production to be able to fight it. So it's a losing battle. So then what starts to happen is you start to get chronic inflammation that goes to the areas that you had predisposition. So if you were someone that has gut health issues, that's your area that it's going to focus on. And you're going to have inflammation in the gut health. If it's respiratory, if you have tumor or cancer, or if you have endometriosis or you have a skin condition, whatever that is, it's going to inflame that area because now the body has hit the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight, and the body is in a chronic inflammatory state with a low immunity and a low immune response. Then you get your second booster. What the second booster has is it has 8 strands of HIV. And now what that does is it completely shuts off your ability to make white blood cells. And if you Google what that disease is, it is HIV. So now we have people that are walking around with no immune system, no ability to make an immune system, 81 strands of foreign bacteria, and then also 8 strands of foreign HIV, along with all the other harmful ingredients. And then they remove all the saline from the first and second booster. Now, to make matters worse, during this process, 20 to 30% of the population is going to die every single series of this process. There's 4 series. They have 3 more boosters that are coming out, and the reason why is because once they make you so that your immune system can't make white blood cells anymore, you become dependent on the boosters to survive, just like someone becomes dependent on insulin. Big Pharma is looking for people that either die off to protect our population control, and then those that don't die off, we will have reoccurring customers for life with the boosters so that they will be able to maintain income and collect the money back from all the funding that they put in to make these vaccines in the first place. So hope that was helpful. I hope that you listen to this properly and I hope that you take the time to do your own critical thinking and just give it 2 to 3 years. Every single animal that was participated in this study for any of these vaccines had 100% death rate. And I encourage you all to just take a moment, look around you, and just wait it out. And let's just see what, let nature take its course, and let's just see what happens. Thank you.
The destruction of white blood cells so that you become more susceptible. Excuse me. The end game being, if you do survive, shots every 3 months or whatever. How wicked is this, folks? How wicked. Remember, the temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Any pastor who's standing in the pulpit encouraging people to take a vaccine should be physically removed from that pulpit, never to be put back in there again. I know how to put this. I don't know how to put this in the chat. Okay, I don't know how to do it because it's a Facebook thing. Maybe somebody can find it together as 1.cc. Another thing I want to show you. Spencer's sticking it in the chat for us. Spencer, go to vtvault.org because I came across this morning. I want to give you a little bit of hope. People are saying all the time, what do I do? What do I do if I've taken the jab? Is there any hope for me? Is there anything I can do? And the truth of the matter is, it's Dr. Sherry Timpany says, yeah, you can repent. You can repent and pray that the Lord will do a miracle in you, because if he does do a miracle in you, it's, if you do survive, it's going to be a miracle. I'm just, hey, if you survive, it's going to be a miracle, right? But I found this website called VT Vault. It's Vermont, I guess, vtvault.org, and COVID treatments. But I scroll down, Spencer, scroll down a little bit. Wait, are you in the right spot? No, that's not where I am. Go on treatment. Click on that. It says treatment at the top somewhere, Spence. That's where you should be. I'm sorry. There you go. There you go. Scroll down. Friends, get a pencil and paper. I'll try to make this available to you. I don't know how to do it. Go, keep on going. A treatment for those who've had the vaccine or taken one of the vaccines. Keep going. One more. So, okay. So here you go. Here's some protocol to heal from graphene oxide poisoning or a COVID mRNA shot. Okay. I don't know how to get this to you. Want to take a picture of it right now with your camera? You can do it. I don't know if it's valid, but I looked at it, I thought, wow, okay. So it says in the morning, rising, take some NAC. I talked about NAC the other day. NAC is a restorative, it restores your cells. So you take NAC, 750 milligrams, or glutathione. I don't know what that is, glutathione. Take 25 milligrams of zinc. Zinc bores a hole into the cell so that these other things can get in. Any type of protocol that you're taking that doesn't include zinc.
Glutathione, coach.
Thank glutathione. Don't know what it is. Okay, I don't know what it is. Then it says you can take some astaxanthin, 5 milligrams, eyesight help, or whatever. Quercetin, vitamin D3, milk thistle. I don't even know what it is. That's for cardio, milk thistle. And then PM, before going to bed, melatonin. Vitamin C, 1,000 megagram in the morning when you get up. So melatonin at night. And then it says you can also help with some herbs. White pine needle tea, therapies, coffee enemas. Where have we heard that? Now, folks, these are for the antioxidant that degrade graphene oxide and allow recovery of glutathione reserves are the herbs, the white pine needle tea, improvements shown after a week of this protocol. I'm not a doctor. I know some doctors. I don't know if this is legit, but if you know someone who has taken the jab, here's a possible protocol to heal from the graphene oxide, another poisoning that's been put inside of them. Dustin Ryan, come on in, Dustin.
So if you're if you profess to be a Christian, you take the shot knowing you shouldn't take the shot, can you repent from that?
Yeah, you can. But I don't know what the consequences of it are. See, listen, understand now, there's a difference between a salvation issue, whether or not you're going to be with the Lord forever, and a physical issue. So you can repent and still die. You understand? But the whole idea of taking the shot, I believe, is a violation of the temple of God, and you need to repent of that whether you live or whether you die. You can't just repent and think, okay, the Lord's going to save me now. That ain't the way it works, boys and girls. There's consequences to what we do. So hopefully this protocol may be advantageous to some of you who can help a friend or yourself or somebody who's taking the shot. Here's a take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. Come on in, Mark.
I wanted to respond to that question because Paul is the best example of this. Paul repented, but he was also in jail his whole life after that.
It's true.
So there are consequences. You know, what did John do? We don't even know what John did, but he lost his eyes, Coach. I mean, there's sacrifice to be a Christian and to live. So if you take the jab, yes, go for repentance. And, you know, before the times of Noah, who could have repented? These are scary thoughts. I don't want to get too deep into it. In the Shinar region, who could have repented? Lot, Sodom, who could have repented? So judgment comes. We got to keep this in mind. I don't know the answer to that question, but there's some examples.
Yeah, well, you know, I could drink a deadly poison, right, and pray that it doesn't kill me. Yeah, well, there's a difference between salvation of the soul and consequences to the body. Man, we're about out of time. Dale, Naomi, and then Trent, go ahead.
Yeah, see, brother, that's a thin layer of ice that the church walks on when it comes to the willful knowing. I've talked with people this week, brother. I'm telling you, my message was on precatory prayer last week. When we get into this willful sin, you know, I know that this thing is blah, 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 and I'm going to do it. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 6. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace abound? God forbid. He didn't just say no. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized in his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. Like Amen. Christ, we were raised up to walk by the glory of the Father. Now, Coach, this is the thing, brother. I get it. There's an ignorance. The lady with the issue of blood doesn't say what her hemorrhage of blood issue was, but the virtue of Christ left him and touched her. She cried out. The Pharisees couldn't heal her. I believe, yes, a person who is ignorantly did this early on because they just thought on a good note that this was going to help them, and they didn't see this, and now they see it. I believe, yes, there's a repentance, and God can transform that thing inside of their body, because I believe with God all things are possible. But when a Christian knows, if somebody like we're in this queue, and we know this, Coach, and we say, you know what, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to pray for God to forgive me later, I think you're walking on thin ice.
Oh, man. Hey, Dale, how about pastors that don't stand up and tell people under no circumstances should you take
Coach,
that?
Let me throw this out here real quick. Is one of them pastors, you know what? Not only that, he had that shot van pull up to his church, and I confronted him and told him about the dead baby parts, and he used to come out to the abortion clinic. You know what he did? He unfriended me. This is a pastor of a mega, mega church.
I believe it. Naomi, Trent, real quickly. Go ahead, Naomi.
So, as you know, Coach, Tim and I were at the Truth About Cancer conference this past weekend, and the doctors and scientists that were speaking, this protocol that you just showed, these are pretty much exactly what they would have been saying. If you don't know what these ingredients are, I say get to know them today. Get to know them today, because this is how we're going to have to take care of ourselves when everything shuts down.
Okay, folks. So listen, this is VT. Oh man, where is it? What's the website, Spencer?
It's in the chat. It's in the chat.
Okay, good. And then go under treatments. Okay, that's where you'll find it. Trent, come on in.
We have to identify our enemy, Coach, or Christ's enemy.
Well, amen, brother. That's what it's all about, right? And I can promise you this, excuse me, the U.S. medical system, and the U.S. government are enemies of the cross. Anybody that thinks otherwise, I don't even know what to tell you. The American government is an enemy of the cross. The medical system is an enemy of the cross. You can believe it or you cannot believe it. And until we recognize what the war is, we have got to separate ourselves from both. Sorry. That's what it says. Now, if we can just figure out how to do it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.